Why come to church? And as my son once said, you know, Dad, the people that you're talking to aren't the ones who ought to be listening to this sermon because they're all here. But here's the thing. It's possible that some of you might stop coming to church. And when, you know, next year Yola's back there in Hong Kong, is she going to make the effort of getting on the bus and going here and there to go to a church? Who knows? Who knows where Rachel's going to be in 10 years, or Daniel, or Morgan, or Sarah, or any of us? And people have the tendency, I've noticed, to stop going to church. And one of the jobs of a pastor is knocking on people's door and saying, we've missed you. And I can remember I went to one lady, she was an elderly lady, and when I told her I'd missed her and that we were sorry that she wasn't attending church, you know what she said to me? She got herself up real tall and she says, Pastor Schultz, I'm 88 years old and I don't have to come to church anymore. Now, those of you who are 88, I hope you're not listening. But that's, you know, that's, do you go to church because it's an obligation? Do you go because it's a habit? Why do you go to church? That's the big question. I have six reasons. The first reason is the common friend factor. The common friend factor. My mother was an office nurse, and for years in Arlington, she worked for a Dr. D. Lansing, and he was a GP. And so a while back, about a couple of years ago, maybe more than that, Pearl and D. Lansing had their 75th wedding anniversary. I thought, now that's amazing. And it was amazing, all the people that came to this anniversary. Do you know why? Because of the common friend factor. Velma Cox from the El Cajon Seventh-day Adventist Church is going to turn 100 years old. And she's sending invitations all over, and there's going to be a lot of people at Velma Cox's 100th birthday, and you know why? The common friend factor. Everybody is going to honor this common friend. Well, we're here today, those of us who are here, honoring the common friend factor. And who is our common friend? Jesus. Okay, now, is this Jesus' anniversary or is it his birthday? What are we celebrating about Jesus? Creation, okay. The two most significant things that have ever happened on this planet are, number one, creation. And what did Jesus give us to remind us that this is his work? He gave us the Sabbath. And then the second most significant thing that ever happened on planet Earth was what? Salvation, dying on the cross. And what did Jesus do on the Sabbath after he died on the cross? He rested. He rested after the 6 days of creation. He rested after he made our salvation sure. It wasn't because he was tired. It was because he was showing that this was a perfect act. It could not be added to. It was perfect, and therefore he could rest. So the common friend factor. We are here today because of the common friend factor, and we want to honor our common friend, Jesus Christ. Second reason for going to church is the value of intercessory prayer. Does it make any difference if you have a problem to have people pray for you? Now, we spend quite a bit of time praying for people, don't we? And there is a story in the Bible, Acts 12, about a tragedy that has occurred. Peter has been imprisoned. And Herod, who has imprisoned him, has killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, had him decapitated. And we're picking up the story in Acts 12, verse 5. And it's the night before the execution. Acts 12, verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. The whole church. Now, it's not a very big church because, it's just growing. But the whole church is praying for Peter. Does it make any difference whether they're praying for him or not? You bet it does. And when, this is verse 6, Acts 12, 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth, in other words, well, in the morning, he's going to bring him forth and have him beheaded. When Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, and a light shined in the prison. So first of all, there's this big, bright light in Peter's face. That doesn't wake him up. And then the angel hit Peter on the side, and that didn't wake him up. And then finally the angel raised him up, saying, "Rise up quickly," and his chains fell off of his hands. The angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals," and so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he leads him right out of the prison. An amazing thing. Why did this occur? Because the church was praying for him. Does intercessory prayer work? Does it make a difference? This young man, Felipe, was 12 years old, living in the Philippines. And it was during World War II. And his father had been hauled up twice before the Japanese officer because they suspected his father was a United States sympathizer. World War II, Japanese occupation of the Philippines. And so here the man is, he's escaped twice from the interrogation of the Japanese. One night, the Japanese come again. They knock on the door and they grab Felipe's father and they haul him out of the house. And his wife says, "We'll be praying for you. We'll be praying for you. The Lord has answered our prayers twice before and he will answer the prayer again." At that, the Japanese officer says, "Lady, he's not coming back alive this time. Say goodbye to him because this is the last you're ever going to see of him." Takes him out. And this precious Christian Filipino lady begins to pray for her husband. Her kids get sleepy and they go to sleep. And the wife keeps praying. And it's about 1 o'clock in the morning now. And all of a sudden, she wakes up her little 11-year-old boy and his 7-year-old sister and the little 2-month-old baby. She brings them out into the living room. She puts the baby in front of them, and she says, "You know, I have a tremendous burden, but we should all pray for your father right now." And so they start to pray for him. They pray, and they pray, and they pray. And after they've been praying for some time, they hear footsteps, and all they can think of is the Japanese are after them now. But lo and behold, in walks the father, covered with blood, but there's not a mark on his body. And he said at 1 o'clock in the morning, he was woken up with 9 others, and they were lined up against the wall. And this Japanese officer gave the command, and someone had one of these ninja swords, and they went along right down the line and whopped off the head of 9 of these men. And when the man came to take off the head of this gentleman whose wife was praying for him, all of a sudden the officer in charge, the one that said he would be killed, said, "Stop!" And with that, he rushed up and grabbed this Filipino man and he says, "You get out of here and don't let me ever see you again." And with that, he forcefully pushed him out of the barracks and pushed him on the street, and there he was. Now, we don't know what the Lord said to this Japanese officer, but we do know why he was spared. Does intercessory prayer make a difference? Yes. And that's why you come to church, that you can receive the intercessory prayer. And you know, we need to pray for one another like we do every day. And not just on Sabbath morning. We need to pray every single day for Pat's dad and all the other requests that we've heard this morning. Third reason why we need to come to church is because we have spiritual needs that can only be met through group worship. You know, we live in an age where it's so much easier just to kind of sit back, turn on the television, or maybe even put in a tape, and that's my church. Is that the same? Listen to Psalms 27. Psalm 27, verse 4. And I'm going to be reading this out of the Amplified Bible. Psalm 27, verse 4. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, inquire for, and insistently require, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord, in his presence all the days of my life, to behold and gaze upon the beauty, the sweet attractiveness of the delightful loveliness of the Lord, to meditate, consider, and inquire in his temple. There's a blessing coming and being in this place of worship. And then Psalm 108, the value of group worship. Psalms 108, verses 1 through 4. It is so necessary for our spiritual dimension to receive group worship and fellowship. Psalms 108, 1 through 4. O God, my heart is fixed, steadfast in the confidence of faith. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises, even with my glory and all the faculties and powers of one created in your image. Awake, harp and lyre. I myself will awake very early. I will wake in the dawn. I will praise and give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. And I will sing praises unto you among the nations. Group worship. You know, maybe sometimes we just take church for granted. I can remember once back in 1971, I was told that I was a delegate for the first International Convention for the Prevention of Alcoholism held in Kabul, Afghanistan. They told me I was a delegate. They also told me they had no money to send me there. Well, I can travel cheap. So I flew from Kathmandu to Patna. That's no big deal. That's just like $20. And then I took the train to New Delhi, the train to Amritsar. I walked across the border, and then I took the bus from Amritsar to Lahore, Lahore to Islamabad, Islamabad to Peshawar. Now we're getting into interesting country. Through the Khyber Pass, I stopped in a bazaar. Instead of selling mangoes and oranges, they were selling M1s, machine guns, pistols, all that sort of thing. This is where Osama bin Laden is hanging out. And then I took a taxi to another bus, and everybody in the taxi had a gun except me. But I had a Bible, so I had a sword. And this was in an old 53 Chevrolet. There were eight of us in the car, and there were two people in the trunk. You know, it was a good car. But for days and days, I never saw another white man. And it was scary, you know, working with people. They had signs all over the streets. Don't even think about leaving the road. And don't take pictures of women. And all of the houses are like fortresses. You know, they have walls around them, people there with guns. Scary place. I'll never forget the overwhelming sense of gratitude and praise when I worshiped with the Seventh-day Adventist believers in Kabul, Afghanistan. May Lee, a Seventh-day Adventist who was working for USAID, had a little church in her house. And in China and in all places in the Muslim countries, that's what they have. They have house churches. And she told us what happened when the Christian community in Kabul. Now, this is before the Taliban. This is when the king was there in the 70s, early 70s. The Christians from all the different diplomatic services decided to build a church. And they built a nice, cute little church, and they used to go there and worship. And one night, the Muslims got together, thousands of them, and the next morning, there was not a single brick left where that church was standing. The ground was leveled. And one night, they took away a whole church building. And the feeling of awe and community and wonder with worshiping with fellow believers in a home was amazing. Because you see, we need to go to church. We need it because of the common friend factor, Jesus. We need it because that's where we get intercessory prayer. And we need it because that's satisfying a deep spiritual need that we have. Number four, we need to go to church because we need to follow the example of Jesus. And what did Jesus do? Luke 4, verse 16. Luke 4, verse 16. He came to Nazareth and where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up for to read. Have you ever been to a Jewish synagogue? It is probably one of the most boring things you could endure. In July of 2000, my wife and I got a timeshare at the Sea of Galilee in Tiberias. And it was Sabbath, and I thought, well, I'm going to go. And there was a synagogue right in the timeshare building. And I says, well, this is going to be cool. I'm going to go down there and worship with the Jewish people like Jesus did in the synagogue. And I knew there it would all be in Hebrew, so I took along my English Desire of Ages. And I brought my yarmulke, I knew that, but I didn't have a prayer shawl. So they loaned me, I had a loaner prayer shawl, and I fit in real good. And I was there, and they started to chant. And when they chant, and when they pray, they go back and forth. And of course, they face Jerusalem, you know, and we did this for a while. And then they would read out loud out of the Bible, all in unison. Well, I was just reading out of my Desire of Ages, and then the rabbi came up, and he took the Desire of Ages out of my hands, and I thought, oh, no, are they going to stone me? But he found a place in there that wasn't about Jesus, and he smiled and gave it back to me. And I stayed there for about 2.5 hours, but it was the most boring, ritualistic, void of any meaning or significance of anything I've ever seen. And I thought to myself, Jesus went through this. And, you know, Jesus was so full of spirit. And just to go through ritual after ritual after ritual with no meaning, I'm sure just irked him. Of course, when he was asked to read the scriptures, of course, then there was something to... But what would he do if just some guy also got up and just started, you know, droning on and on and on? If Jesus went through that for us, that's why Jesus went through 30 years or 20 years of attending synagogue, so he could be our example. And I hope that church isn't boring. I really try to make church not boring. But we need to follow the example of Jesus, number four. Number five, we need the encouragement and power that comes through being a part of the household of faith. You are a part of a family. And when the family hurts, we all hurt. Paul says that we're all members, we're all parts of a body. And we have been given the task of preaching the gospel to the whole world. Well, how in the world can you and I in Curry County get over there to India or Nepal or Mexico or to Iraq and do anything for Jesus. We can do it because we are part of a big family. Also, when we are part of this family, when one part of the family has a need, we all jump in and satisfy and meet that need. That's a part of being a family. We had a member down in Brookings. His roof was leaking. And so one Sunday, all the men from Brookings, practically all the men, we were there 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning on top of his roof, and we put that roof on practically in one day. And you know, the Amish people are like that. They have a barn raising, and everybody goes out, and they put the barn up. And that's what family people do, and we need the encouragement and the support of a family, don't we? Elizabeth and I bought this old, little, funny little house, 850 square feet down in Mentone. Why did we buy this house? Well, the Leans know why. Jonathan and Rachel were baptized in this stream. Jonathan and Christina, not Rachel. Okay. There was a stream that ran right in front of our house, and we had three waterfalls on this stream. It was beautiful. And here we had this funny little house, and so we made arrangements for someone to come and make an addition, you know. And he had all of the foundation dug out, and we, of course, had moved. Yes, Dan? No, we ran out of money real quick. We didn't know where to put our stuff because we had to get out of our house. And so we put all of our things in the basement. The day that we moved in, there was a horrendous fire, you know, Southern California. It was one of those October Santa Anas. And the fire came right up to our house, and we had these huge eucalyptus trees. The Lord spared our house. We didn't think anything of it. And of course, the environmentalists were debating upon what kind of grass seed to sow on those hills behind our house before the rains came. They never could decide on what kind of grass seed to have. And so after they had dug the foundation for the house, after we had put all of our stuff in the basement, we had this horrendous rainstorm. It rained about 3 inches in a half an hour. And there was a wall of water and mud that came down out of these hills and went right by our house and burst open the window of the basement and filled the basement up with 5.5 feet of mud. Just mud. And probably one of the more discouraging times in my life. Some of the church members from Mentone would come by and just wring their hands and say, "What a mess." The only way that we had of getting the mud out of the basement were with these 5-gallon buckets. And we would scoop them into the mud and we would haul them out and dump them. Only one small problem, and that is that there had been poison oak on the hills behind the house. And the poison oak oil was in the mud. So anybody who was there to help with the mud removal would be blessed with poison oak on their hands. But still, these church members came out. And I felt really guilty. I said, you know, you're ministering to me. I should be ministering to you. And with the help of my family, we got all of the mud out of the basement before it solidified. Because if it dried out, it would be like cement. We got it all out before it solidified. Never could have done it without my family. We need a family. Everybody needs a family. You can stay at home and you can look at television or hear it on the radio, but we need to be together. And this is what Hebrews 10 says. We need to encourage one another. It's not just enough to think about ourselves. We're all in this mess together, and we need to encourage one another. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25, it's our scripture. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. You and I might let go. We may need some encouragement. We may need Neil or Jim or Russell to come by and say, I hear you haven't been to church for a while. How's it going? Well, I'm discouraged. Got my basement full of mud. You know, well, I'm here to tell you that God cares and I care. Verse 24, let us consider one another. Just don't think about yourselves. You know, this whole great controversy between Christ and Satan isn't about me. It's about this, what's going on here in the planet. It's about Jesus. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, to encourage one another. And then 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Not getting in the habit of not coming, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The closer it gets to the end of time, the more difficult it is for us to go to church. And it's so important for us to do what is right now. My last reason for going to church, we need to put within our beings seeds of eternal life that only can be found in God's Word. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter 1:23. We need to put something in us that will be eternal. And 1 Peter 1, beginning with verse 23. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. That's like any kind of seeds of oats or wheat, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth for how long? Forever. There's something about God's word that is forever. And he goes on, all flesh is grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth away. The word of God endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I can remember going to the Central India Union constituency meeting. Now, some of you have gone to a constituency meeting. Again, I was the only white person in this whole meeting. And there were some boring speakers. And I can remember very vividly, they had an early morning worship service at 6:30. And it was hot and nasty, and I had a hard time sleeping that night. And I said to myself, do I want to get up and go and listen to this boring sermon? I said, I'm going to go listen. And before the preacher started to preach, I prayed. And I said, Lord, bless this meeting and bless me. Help me to get something out of it. Help us all to get something out of it, because I knew what we were in for. I knew the guy who was going to speak. And of course, he was boring. But this was the thing that was amazing to me. He read a passage of scripture that I'd read before, but never before had it made an impact on my life. And the Holy Spirit took that word that he said, and I was just, wow, this is so great. Because, you know, when you come to church, you don't come to hear a man. You don't come to hear a Sabbath school lesson. You don't come to hear religious talks. Brothers and sisters, you come to hear the Word of God. And the Word of God is going to exist how long? Forever. If these words are in your heart, guess what? You're going to live forever. Do I hear an amen? And you know, the Egyptian kings, they would put all of this stuff in their funerals. And their mummies would be surrounded with, you know, their six chariots and all of their boats and their bows and arrows and all of the goodies that they had in life, hoping that they would be able to enjoy them forever. Well, I got news for you. They're not. But we as Christians can enjoy this word forever. And so when you come to church, insist on hearing the Word of God. That's what we're all about. Reasons for coming to church: we have the common friend. We need intercessory prayer. We need to satisfy that spiritual longing in our hearts. We need to understand that we're a part of the family, and we need the encouragement of the family, and we need to put seeds of eternal life in our hearts. I have found a wonderful hymn in closing, hymn number 505, that talks about intercessory prayer and how each one of us need this. You and I really do need the prayers of those we love. Hymn number 505. Dear Father, we're so grateful for giving us your body, making it possible to be a part of your body. And dear Father, help us not to be lazy. Help us not to be negligent, but help us to be full of life and full of your Spirit. And dear Father, we pray for those who perhaps are not here today because they're discouraged. Put us in contact with them, and may we be able to speak words of encouragement and comfort to them. May we be able to share with them the things that you have done for us. We're so grateful for giving us your word, and we pray that you will continue to put these truths in our hearts and minds, that you will draw this family closer together. Help us to lift one another up in prayer. Help us to bear one another's burdens. Help us to be able to reach out to others who are in need, that we might show them the saving salvation in Jesus Christ and the glory that can be theirs in a church family. Bless this family now with those who are here visiting is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.